Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of OC Spotlight, the one show, maybe the only show that shows you the most incredible people doing the most amazing things right here in our own backyard. And today, well, it starts in our backyard, but it spreads all over the world. We'll explain that to you in a minute as we bring in Chris Meyer, the owner of Expedia Cruises here in Orange County. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Good to be here.
You have a fascinating background. We could do a show just on you and your journey to getting here. But let's cover that just quickly here. I'm a news geek, a news junkie. At one time, the Orange County Register was the paper in Orange County. You dominated this market. Nobody could do it. And you were the deputy editor of the Orange County Register?
Yeah, I spent 30 years there. I started as a copy boy. That was actually a position in those days.
Yeah, right. Running copy, run copy boy. Take this over. Run this over here.
That's what I did in 1980, yes.
And you worked with deputy editor. That's you're overseeing several departments and direction for the newspaper. How many people were at the paper at its height?
At its height, there were 450. But at the height of my, I had about 120 on my team at one point in both local news and business news.
So what the heck happened to local news? We could do a whole show on that. The sad demise of the Orange County Register. I know it's gone through several owners. We've had several of them in here through the years. It goes lower and lower, smaller and smaller. I haven't read the paper in years. When I looked at it, it was a fraction. It was a skeleton of what it once had been, a great, powerful national voice that certainly dominated the local news here in Orange County. And now it's a glorified something. It's not much of a paper left anymore.
Yeah, well, some people would say that a succession of owners made some colossal mistakes.
Yeah.
And maybe that was a contributing factor, but really it's what's happened to the Register has happened across the country.
It has. Newspaper. And I don't know. We try and fill a small void for that for business conversations here at OC Talk Radio. I know everybody's on their smartphone, so it's easier to watch and listen than it is to read these days here. But I really bemoan the loss of local news. I don't think we're better for it. But you saw the writing on the wall and you said, it's time to get out and leave what you had done. How the heck did you get into the cruise business?
Well, you mentioned LinkedIn earlier when we were talking.
Yeah.
I responded to a LinkedIn ad on my profile, which I've done once in my life, and that was the only time.
Yeah, exactly.
I was intrigued. It said that Expedia, the biggest online travel company in the world, was expanding with brick-and-mortar travel agencies, and it just intrigued me.
Yeah.
And I called up, talked to somebody. I flew up to Vancouver, British Columbia, talked to the head honchos, and we decided to join.
So let's tell that story, because I've never heard this story before. I think of Expedia as the giant killer. They and the others, mostly Expedia, killed the mom and pop travel agencies for the most part, because you could, several things. You talked about how airline fares came down and travel agents weren't making enough commissions off of selling tickets. I used to always go to a travel agent, get my tickets. They knew they can be the best deals and the best flights and all that stuff. And then that went away, and then booking hotels and all that kind of stuff. I would always go through a travel agent. Then these online travel agencies appeared. All that went away, didn't it? I thought they killed all the brick and mortar operations.
So of course, Expedia's ascendancy was similar to where the dot-com bubble, although
right.
Expedia exceeded the bubble. So Expedia was founded in 1997.
Right at the height of the bubble there.
Right as the bubble was building. But when the bubble burst, Expedia didn't burst.
It
kept growing. It caught lightning in a bottle for
sure.
About 10 years later, 2007, they're 10 years old and the biggest travel company in the world after starting from nothing in 1997.
Where were they?
Seattle. Well, they were in actually Bellevue, which is a suburb of Seattle.
Okay.
And they were looking at their analytics and they saw that they were getting a lion's share of flights and hotel rooms at the Marriott and such. And that was pretty low margin business. And they looked at some of the high margin business like safaris and cruises. And what they noticed was on their website, on Expedia.com, many people were logging in and looking at cruises and not purchasing cruises. Yet the cruise ships were all full. And so they tried to figure out why. They did some market research, did some focus groups, and then took the focus group data and went out with big surveys of people.
Right.
And they found out that people found cruises were too complex. There were too many choices. It wasn't just whether I'm going to stay at the Hyatt for $200 or the Marriott for $230. It was 50 cabin categories and 14 different packages.
An excursion. And,
all, just so many choices. And if it didn't blow up the search engine, it blew up their brains. And mm-hmm. so they end up calling somebody.
Because if you confuse a customer, you lose a customer, and they stop and leave the cart, you know, without executing the sale here.
Right. But somehow they were getting on the cruise ships. They buying it somewhere. So, so the Expedia folks said, well, we really want to get into that business. And one of their leaders there.
Because it's booming and there's good margins in it. And it appeals to an older audience that has more money.
It's booming and it's showing exponential growth.
Yeah, you're not selling $100 airfare to Vegas and back.
No, there's opportunity for, you know, low-end sales and luxury sales. So mm-hmm. there's a wide variety of what people can purchase. What they learned was there was a little company a couple hours up the road in Vancouver, British Columbia, called Cruise Ship Centers. Mm-hmm. And Cruise Ship Centers had bricks and mortar locations, but they had a bricks and clicks operation. They had that both that and a website, not mm-hmm. as big or sophisticated Expedia's, but a serviceable website.
This was up in Canada?
In Canada.
Right.
And they had grown them. They had been around 20 years. They were 10 years older than Expedia, and they had grown to 100 locations across Canada.
Wow.
And in fact had 25% of market share of all cruises sold in Canada.
Wow.
And as any business guy can tell you, 25% market share of anything is amazing.
Right. In a fragmented world where there's a million ways to do things, right.
So there was something going on there. So they went up and met the guys at Cruise Ship Center, and they made the guy who started it as a guy who, when I met him, told me when he was 22 years old and he started one location, he couldn't rub two nickels together. That's why he did it as a franchise.
Right.
They made that guy a multimillionaire, bought him out and took over and said, well, if you can get 25% market share in Canada, we'd be happy with 5% market share in the United States. And so over the last 15 years, they've taken to expanding, and we have now a couple hundred locations in the States, 100 or so.
And these
in
are what, franchise operations? If they find somebody like you to buy the franchise, teach her the business, and then.
Exactly. They're franchise operations. Their theory is that the local guy knows the idiosyncrasies of the local place better than if they just hired a manager at corporate and plopped him down here.
Right.
So,
right.
And also, of course, you know, the franchise partners contribute some of the capital as well. So.
And you're the deputy editor for the paper that knew this market better than anybody did. The Register the Times tried to come in and knock you guys off and got knocked out. Nobody, I remember the heyday of the Register, and it was just everybody read it, and you were the pulse of the market. In fact, I always credit, I don't know if you guys realize this, you created this idea of Orange County. There is no other county in America that identifies by the county. When I lived in Detroit, I didn't say I was from Wayne County. I was from Detroit, even though I lived in a suburb, or, you know, you don't, whatever. But here, we don't say we're from Yorba Linda or Brea. We say we're from Orange County. I think that really started accidentally or thoughtfully by the Register.
Well, that really was something that the ownership of the Register thought about a lot way back. Their theory was Orange County had all these little cities, none of them colossal enough to be an LA or something.
Right.
So even Anaheim and Santa Ana, the county seat, just not big enough to really hold sway. And so they came up with this idea that Orange County could become something. And I think it's even as the paper's fortunes have dwindled, the notion of Orange County as a place is something that has survived.
Absolutely.
And will persist.
We're not a suburb, we're not LA, and we're not San Diego. We're something different here. And through that, now that we had the Housewives of Orange County, the airport was named Orange County, we've created a brand. This collection of 34 cities is now sees itself as a single entity and has a
well, and you know, I'll tell you something. I'm in the travel business, and of course, so I travel a lot. I go around the world to mm-hmm. whether it's Prague or Tokyo, or anytime I meet a local person somewhere and I tell them I'm from Orange County, California, everybody knows something about it. Sometimes it's just Disneyland,
right.
But in other times it's usually an uncle or a cousin or somebody who lives in Orange County.
Right.
It's like really known around the world.
But you
it's
don't say I'm from Laguna or I'm from Huntington Beach or whatever. Some of those have some notion, but it really is we've all banded together and created identify around a county.
Yeah.
I can't think of another place in America where we all see ourselves as part of a county and use that name and use that identity.
You know, an interesting comparison is in Orlando, Florida, where the other Disneyland is. Mm-hmm. Disneyland is not even in Orlando. It's in Orange County, Florida, but they think of Disneyland as in Orlando.
In Orlando.
So Orlando is the behemoth there, not the county they're in. But yeah, here it is different.
Look at that. All right, so what better person to know the feeling and flavor of the county than the guy who was running the reporters reporting on it for 30 years here and running this network.
Well, I didn't run them the whole time. I was one of the reporters at some point.
At some point.
I moved through different positions.
You didn't
at
start
the
off as, for 30 years as editor, deputy editor?
No. Oh,
okay. You said you start off as a copy boy.
A copy boy. That's called news assistant now. They came up with a gender neutral term later.
Run this upstairs. Run this upstairs. They need it right now. Take this to somebody.
Yeah, that was what it was.
All right. So my point is you clearly knew this county better than most. You had seen it grow. You had been part of the coverage of this county. And so, yeah, you would really understand it. What's the county like for cruising? Is cruising an old folks thing? You got to be 80 to go on a cruise?
Oh, that's sort of an old stereotype. They used to say it's for newlyweds and nearly deads. but you know, it's become everybody. I mean, we have these Royal Caribbean cruise ships, including one of them that goes out of LA, that have water slides and miniature golf courts and surf simulators, and they attract families with kids. There are a ton of them with families with kids. Now, some of the older folks don't want to be on the ones with kids. As the chairman of Viking Cruises said, you have to be 18 or older to get on a Viking cruise. He says, I love my grandchildren, but I don't want to travel with your grandchildren.
So. Yeah, right. Mine. That's a good point. I'd love to travel with mine, but I don't know about yours. Yeah. And I think I'm the only guy my age. I'm a man of a certain age here, that aging baby boomer here. I'm the only guy I know that's never been on a cruise. So I'm fascinated by this.
The sweet spot.
Oh, I'm the sweet spot. Because everybody I know goes on cruises and says, what are you missing? You don't have to drive. You get on and the stuff comes to you. And in the meantime, you stuff yourself full of food and you dance and you have a good time, or you sleep, or you lay around. They think it's heaven. And I keep having this image that it's just, you know, a giant leisure world cruise. I don't know why. And I'm probably able to go to leisure world now, you know, so I don't know. Tell me about what these cruises are like and the diversity of them. I know they're family cruises, Disney cruises, and all these kinds
of stuff. There's a big diversity. So let's start with the Viking. Viking is, you probably, everybody gets these in their mailbox.
I get tons of them. I got 50 of them at home.
Yeah. So Viking started out with river cruises in Europe. Now these ships have 150 to 190 people on them. Mm-hmm. They're small. They have to get through the locks on the rivers.
Right.
But what they allow you to do, they allow you to have this little boutique hotel take you from place to place. Mm-hmm. They don't have lavish entertainment like the big cruise ships, and we'll talk about that in a minute, because the entertainment on these is, you know, you're going down the Rhine River and you're in Cologne one day and then you're in Amsterdam another day and you're visiting these
and
places.
And maybe somebody tells you about it.
There's, and you have a little walking tour in the morning and then you wander on your own in the afternoon. But your hotel is going with you. So they've made it so you're on vacation the whole time.
Yeah.
If you've ever gone to Europe like I have in other ways with a rental car or by train,
rental
cars, you're trying to figure out the GPS, trains, you're working on the train
which
schedules.
Which side of the road they're driving on.
Or get on the right side of the train track to get on your train and everything. You have a lot of logistics. Here, the logistics are gone. You get to the airport, they take you to this little floating hotel, and you go from place to place. It's explained the night before where you're going the next day. Local people come aboard. They explain to you what's unique about their place, like we would explain what's unique about Orange County.
Right.
And it's a pretty effortless way to do it. And what I like to say is you're on vacation the whole time. You're not worried about the logistics at all.
Right.
So that's the one end of the spectrum. And
that's one that's appealed to me. I got a million brochures on this.
It is hugely popular. It's a fantastic thing to do. My wife and I have taken two big groups on river cruises. We do this on a regular basis. They're super
right.
Fantastic.
You may have another sale after this one.
Well, that wouldn't be bad. And then at the other end of the spectrum are the behemoths.
Yeah.
So this is Royal Caribbean. They have a new ship coming out, the Icon of the Seas. It would accommodate 6,000 passengers.
It has
surf simulators, ice skating rink, 18-hole miniature golf course, water slides, rock climbing walls. The Broadway show Hairspray. And the actors and singers are like they were on Broadway. In fact, most of them they hire, they're former Broadway actors. They have their own studio in Miami where they set up these stage shows. So when you're on that, it's like you're on the Vegas Strip and it's floating from one Caribbean island to the next.
Yeah.
So your kids can have super fun on the surf simulators. Big kids like me can too, because I grew up surfing here in Orange County. The surf simulators are harder than real waves, by the way.
Okay.
Because the water's coming against you instead of you trying to go with it. But anyway, it's a similar kind of feel. So that's the other end of the spectrum. And in between, there are a lot of different permutations. But even
and
though
some are for older, some are for younger,
right.
So
for instance, there's one, we talked about one cruise line that really spins old on the demographic. Another one that's more like young couples, 40s and 50s are their sweet spot.
Right.
There's one that very much appeals to the gay audience. There's different genres of this, but there's some that are just for everybody. But so there's a whole range of them. They're all cruises. But to try to say that a Royal Caribbean cruise on that behemoth ship is similar to a Viking cruise on that little riverboat.
Or
they're
Holland,
not,
which is an older crowd, yeah, or Celebrity, which is a younger.
They're really a lot different. They're both floating,
right.
But the experience is very unique. Both of them are fun. I'm going to go on the christening cruise of this giant one that I talked to you about, the Icon of the Seas in January. My wife and I were invited because we're big producers for them.
You're a diamond.
Yeah.
That suggests to me you're one of the couple hundred franchisees. You got to be in the top tier here.
We're in the top. We're about top 5%. Yeah. Wow. Of the franchises. And we've been around 12 years. But so we get to go on that, and that's super fun. But we also love the little ships. And, you know, I backpack too. I like to travel in many different ways. Cruises are certainly one good way to do it. We took a group of friends of ours to Israel and Jordan in 2019.
Wow. Okay.
And, you know, I'm still in touch with our tour guide in both Israel and Jordan. Our tour guide in Israel, who lived in a kibbutz, and now he's not being a tour guide. He's now organizing temporary schools so they evacuate kids out of near the Gaza border and near the Lebanon border. So one of the things you find out in travel, there's a lot of joy in it, but there's also you learn about the world, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, our tour guide in Jordan, Sam, as he introduced himself to us, but his real name was Osama. And he said, you know, my parents named me Osama before that famous Osama. And so I usually go by Sam now. But you know, what's interesting is you learn some things. So the guy, our Israeli guy, because he's Jewish Israeli, can never see Petra in Jordan. Because you, even though we transitioned into Jordan as a bunch of Americans,
right?
As a Jewish Israeli, he's not allowed to go into Jordan.
Wow.
Our Sam, our Jordanian guide, is not allowed to go into, this is like going from LA County to Orange County, by the way. These are small places.
Right.
Our Jordanian guide, because he's in his 30s, he said he's not allowed to go to Israel. He said, when I get about 65, they would let me in. Right now, they think I'm a terrorism risk, even though I'm an archaeologist. But when I'm 65, they figure I'm old and crusty and I won't be a risk, so they'll let me in. He said they let my dad in, but not me.
But isn't
right now.
This why my generation, your generation, the generation that goes on these things, wants to experience it? I don't want to just sit on a bus and they point out the Eiffel Tower and they drive by and then I check off 14 things off the list. I don't want to travel like that. I want it to do it easy. I don't necessarily want to go through all the hassle of moving in and unpacking and all the stuff a million times, but I want to feel some local flavor. I want to talk to some real people. I want to get up and walk around too. And I guess that was my fear of cruises, that it was too much like the bus tours and not enough of experiencing the world. But you're saying they've really changed.
Well, what I want to say is people make of it what they want to.
Right.
There are definitely some people who want to check off driving by the Eiffel Tower, and that's available.
Right.
But the people we travel with, most of our customers want to
experience.
We want to
hike
through Petra and get up on the camel.
Yeah.
We want to go to a mosque and hear the call to prayer at 4 in the morning when we're in Jordan.
There you go.
We want to float in the Dead Sea. We want to...
The saltiest sea around. So
right. We want to go into, Palestine, into Bethlehem, and be right there where the nativity was. We want to go to Jericho, the oldest city on the world, in the Palestinian territories as well as going to Israel. So the... Part of the great,
and you want to talk to people.
Yeah.
You want to have some interaction with people. You want to feel like you not just got the flavor of, but you met the people and you experienced something.
Oh, and by the way, I was telling you earlier that everywhere I go, somebody knows something about Orange County when you say you're from here. So we're in Jericho. So we go to the oldest city in the world. they say, which is in the Palestinian territories in what we think of as the West Bank. Israelis would call it Judea. Palestinians would call it Palestine. Anyway, it's a Palestinian-run part of Israel. And so we go into this little town, and it's pretty fascinating because you pass this sign that says, beware, Israelis should not go in here. Your life could be in danger. But we go by anyway, as well as our Israeli guide. And we go to see a little overlook, which is believed to be where the temptation of Jesus happened.
Oh, okay.
So, and so we see that place.
The devil points out the desert and says, this could all be yours.
Yes, so this is renowned to be that place. So there's an overlook, and of course there's a few Palestinian vendors around, and they're selling us peanuts and stuff, and religious icons. And then we go back into town for lunch. And two things happen in town that's interesting. School's getting out. And in Jericho, in the Palestine territory, you know what the school is? It's a Catholic school. They're wearing... They're wearing plaid skirts like when I went to Catholic school, the girls wore.
I'm a good Irish
And I
Catholic.
Asked our guide about that, and he says, well, a lot of people don't realize there are a lot of Palestinian Christians. There are even Palestinian Jews. Mm-hmm. And he said, in Jericho, the best school is a Catholic school. Even Palestinian Muslims want to send their kids to the Catholic school because it's the best school if they're good parents. So then we go to a restaurant, and it's a restaurant that hosts people on tours regularly. It's a has a big restaurant. And our guide brings the owner up. The owner's a Palestinian guy. And our guide said, these people are from Orange County, California. He says, oh, my wife is from Newport Beach. And she lives with me here in Jericho in Palestine. So, like, the connections, I mean, when we think about the tragedy that's going on in Israel right now, but then you think about these kinds of connections, how the world can really be connected together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, travel is super fun, and you can just have a blast, but it also can be super enlightening and a way to maybe make connections with people. I mentioned that famous Mark Twain quote.
I was going to say, what's the famous Mark Twain quote?
The famous Mark Twain quote was that travel is the great enemy of prejudice. Because when you actually go places, and I'm paraphrasing him right now, when you actually go places and meet people, your preconceived notions tend to figure out they were somewhat wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some truth to them, but a lot of them were wrong, particularly if they were negative opinions of a people. Because think about the Palestinians. The Palestinians have a certain reputation going on right now.
Absolutely.
But they're very diverse people. A lot of them are Christian. Some of them send them kids to Catholic schools. Some of them have joined the Israeli Defense Force because they really hate Hamas.
Right.
You know, so I mean, so and but there are a lot of them that voted for Hamas. So like every group of people, there's a diversity of opinion among
because
them.
Because it's easy to say I hate them, whoever them is, but when you meet them, well, not that person. The story I always tell famously, my father was, he'd be voting for Trump, I'm sorry to say, he's a very conservative Republican guy, but he grew up raised by his grandmother who came from Poland. I'm part Irish and part Polish, and his grandmother never spoke a word of English. She lived in the Polish ghetto in Detroit and went to Polish mass and read the Polish newspaper and raised him when his mother died. And so I asked my dad once, what do you hate about immigrants, Mexican immigrants? They don't speak English. I said, like your grandmother, who never spoke a word of English. Well, that, not her. She's different. No, she isn't. We're all the same thing. But we have these exceptions for people we know. It's easy to categorize and say, I hate them, those people, until you get to know those
people. I have a little anecdote in my own family. So my Irish immigrant grandfather, who had 11 kids, typical Irish Catholic family, we would go when I was a little kid to big family gatherings, either at his house or at a park. And I remember one time I was young and I wasn't really of age to really understand politics yet. I might have been 8 or 9 years old. And I remember we came into the room and my grandfather put his hand out and shook my dad's hand and said, ah, my Republican friend, welcome. And later I went up to my grandfather and I said, Grandfather, what'd you mean when you call my dad your Republican friend? And he said, oh, Chris, your dad's a good man, but I don't have too many Republican friends.
I don't have too many of those. Them. He's one of them. Well, I think you get to meet them, and I think that's the appeal. That's been the attraction to my wife and I. We've often dreamed of cruises and talked about them. We thought, are we ready? Do we know what we're doing? But it's a confusing thing. You got it right. There's so many choices, the kind of cruise, the place you go, the packages you get, the accommodations, everything else. I'm one of those guys that's probably opened up that cart a million times on a million different cruise lines and left it unanswered or abandoned the shopping cart because I wasn't sure what to buy at the end here. And
well,
that's why you guys exist. So you walk people through this.
Well, even at the beginning, you know, we mentioned a little bit the different cruise lines have different personalities. Then the different ships are different. And then the different cabin categories and the different pricing of those are a little complication. So there's a number of things. There's a bit of education to go through to make an informed buying decision.
You're,
and that's really what our job is to... We hopefully help people make a more informed
buying
decision.
You're an old-fashioned travel agent. What I thought had disappeared for you specialize in cruises. You'll do anything, but you specialize in cruises. And that means you get to know me. And you pick out, you're the concierge that helps put this together. You're the person that curates it for me. And the hope that I'll come back and do it again and again. That was great, Chris. Gonna book me another one here.
And then if you're in Southern California and you're on Expedia.com and you get befuddled and you push the button, I want to talk to somebody, it connects to our office.
There you go.
So, you know, we deal with a lot of those people too. They started to try to book it on Expedia.com. They got confused and they call us and then we have somebody walk
through. So what an amazing story that the company I thought of as the great, the one that killed the travel business here, in some sense realize that for some customers and some products, they need a personal interaction. They need real people and real stores really talking. They get to know their customers on a local business, not just a national call
well,
center
they,
somewhere.
And they were able to, we talked about preconceived notions. They were able to challenge their preconceived notions at one point, which is a good business.
Yes, we can take a lot of it on, but maybe not all of it online. There is still a market. There's still a need for certain products, high-priced products, complicated products, for an older audience, probably still primarily, or even a big audience, you've got families and lots of people are gonna go on this cruise with you, extended relatives. That needs a little more hand-holding and it can't be done from a call center in China or someplace else here, or the Philippines. I applaud you. I think this is a cool idea. I didn't know such a thing exists. Are you the only one here in Orange County? Are you the only Expedia travel center right now?
Yeah, we have two offices in South County right now, one in Laguna Hills and one in Laguna Niguel. I think Expedia would like to have more. They just need to find some entrepreneurs like me who would want to open one.
There you go. Well, maybe, you know, that we reach, this is an entrepreneurial channel. We reach lots of entrepreneurs. You're looking for that second act career like Chris did? Maybe this is it.
Well, and also, if you don't want to invest the capital, we do have opportunities for people who want to learn to be a good Expedia travel agent.
There you go.
And it can be a part-time gig, and you can do it on the side. A lot of stay-at-home moms who want to get back into the workforce, try that.
Or retire. My wife's recently retired. She's going crazy trying to figure out what to do.
We do have some retired people who we call it rewirement. They do something. It gives them something else to do and gives them some travel opportunities along the way.
She keeps saying, I wish I had something I could do that made a little money and made an impact. She was a branch manager for 20 years for U.S. Bank. She doesn't get much of it. Gets a little tiny pension. Lucky to get that. And she just feels so out of it. You know, I don't want to garden. I don't want to go to the girls club. I want to do something. I want to help people. And I'd like to make a little money at doing it too.
Well, it's nice. I mean, it's really good to help people. It's good to have somebody come back from their honeymoon and tell you what a great time they had. Sometimes people bring flowers or candy into their travel agent after they get back just to say thanks for putting that together for me. So
there you go.
That's always a good feeling.
All right. So maybe we'll recruit some people. Maybe we'll find some future franchisees, or maybe we'll find a resource now for people like me who thought about it, dreamed about it, and never pulled the trigger. We now have somebody to do this. Give us the website. Give us the locations. How do we get in touch with you here?
We're in Laguna Hills. The website, just go to ocglobetrotter.com. But even better, just give us a call, 949-201-4246.
All right, one more time.
949-201-4246.
And will somebody actually answer this here in Orange County and not being shuttled overseas somewhere? Hey, that drives me crazy.
There's no overseas. Expedia had offshore call centers and it was a failure, so they brought everything back to the States.
Hey, because they don't understand me. They speak in English, but not the same English I speak, and it's just robotized, and they might as well be artificial intelligence here. I might as well be talking to a robot here.
Well, here's the proof in the pudding. Since they brought that back on shore, sales are up.
There you go.
It's doing better than it was when they were offshore.
Well, there's a takeaway.
It was lower cost offshore, but it's more revenue now.
Yeah,
so.
Because we want to talk to people who are like us, that we know, that feel like they know us. And that's what you offer here, a local option here too. I think it's a cool story. I encourage people to find it. It's called, I'll make sure I get it right. These are Expedia Cruises of Orange County.
Cruises, yeah.
Expedia Cruises of Orange County. Chris Meyer, thank you for coming in and sharing this story. What a cool thing. And I hope you'll come back and tell us more. Give us some specials or details coming up here. There must be sales or special cool things are just opening up or something. I'm fascinated this round the world cruise. I don't know when I'd ever do that, but more and more they're talking about you get on a boat and you go for 6 months and you go.
Well, there
the world.
Are there like in every business there are Black Friday sales and everything. We also have Expedia groups on almost every cruise, and what an Expedia group means is Expedia guarantees the cruise line they'll book a certain number of staterooms and we get a discount, so we're able to pass that discount on to our customers.
There you go. We're always looking for a deal. All right, thanks. And we know the guy who can give us the deal and give us the inside scoop, the inside passage to the inside passageways up in Alaska and elsewhere here. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, you're welcome. Nice to be here.
Wow, if that's not a reason to tune in, I don't know what is. What a cool idea. Kind of counterintuitive. They're coming back to real people helping others. And you got to applaud and support that. In one world, we're all getting more and more intrigued. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.